I thought it would be appropriate this morning to talk about what we call missions, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who don't yet believe, to those who may have never heard the name of Jesus, to the nations, to the world. So I'd invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 96, this statement of mission. Psalm 96 verse 3 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word together today, I pray that you would be at work by your Holy Spirit through your word in the hearts and minds and lives of your people. That you would give a passion for what you are passionate about. That we would see your glory and seek through our prayers, through our giving, and through our lives to advance the fame of your name to the ends of the earth. Be at work in our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 96 verse 3 describes the missionary mandate, the missionary message. And notice it's a message. It's a word. It's something spoken, something proclaimed. It's truth declared. It's not primarily a debate or an argument. It's not sharing an opinion. It's announcing something. It is declaring objective truth, objective reality. The New Testament word is evangelizo, I can't read Greek anymore, from which we get our word evangelize. Evangelizo, evangelize, to announce, to proclaim good news. The missionary mandate is a message. Declare. And this declaration has content. What are we to declare? What is the content of the message we bring to the nations? Declare his glory. The content of our message is a person. Our message must be all about God, specifically about him and his glory. Glory. What's glory? Glory is the shining forth or the brilliance of who he is, his inner nature, his inner character shining forth. This psalm describes his glory in verse 3 as his marvelous works. Verse 4, his greatness, he is to be feared. Verse 5, his creativity. 6, splendor, majesty, strength, beauty. Verse 7, his glory and strength. 8, the glory of a great king. 9, splendor of holiness. 10 to 13, his rule, his unchanging permanence, justice, righteousness, his faithfulness. God is worthy of worship from all of his creation. And his presence elicits joy. God is glorious beyond all comparison. So declare his glory. Tell of his marvelous works. When you witness glory, when you see glory, whether it's the awesome power of a tsunami or the stunning beauty of a sunset, it stirs something in you. And you need to share the experience. You need others to know. You need to tell somebody. Declare his glory. The mission mandate is to declare a message. The content of that message is his glory, the glory of God. The context of that declaration, of that message, is among the nations. Among all the peoples. God's glory is not a regional glory, not a domestic, geographically contained message. His glory is a global glory, an all creation glory. So the message of His glory must be proclaimed among all the peoples, among all nations. His supremacy must be proclaimed to nations with kings, two nations with tyrants, two nations with prime ministers and presidents. His glory must be proclaimed among all the peoples. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 4, Daniel was sent to Babylon as an ambassador to the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world at that time, with a message to declare that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. Keep in mind, from a Jerusalem perspective, we are the ends of the earth.
Amen.
The gospel has reached from Jerusalem all the way around the globe, even to here, Ephraim, Utah, the ends of the earth. The good news of the glory of God has reached even us. But it must not stop with us. That's why we are passionate about sending and supporting missionaries around the globe. Declare His glory among the nations, among all peoples. Psalm 96 doesn't start with verse 3. It starts back in verse 1. So we need to back up. Psalm 96 starts with singing. Psalm 96 verse 1, look at it. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Sing, sing, sing. The missionary mandate flows out of a song. Do you see that? One of the things we do when we gather together as a church, and you saw this as we looked through some of the Thailand videos from around the world, the church gathers, we sing. So one of the things we do is we sing. Singing is a powerful way to express emotion about a shared experience. At a ball game, we sing the national anthem. At a concert, we sing a song that resonates with something in our experience. As the people of God, we gather to sing to the Lord because His mercies are new every morning. We sing to the Lord and bless His name because of who He is. His character, His nature stirs our affections like a sunset stirs our sense of beauty. Like a tsunami elicits a deep sense of awe at its raw destructive power. Powerful experiences overflow into song. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Salvation, because God is more attractive than the most magnificent sunrise. Because God's wrath is fiercer than the mightiest tsunami. Because His grace is so glorious that wraps undeserving sinners in His infinite love to protect us from His own fierce wrath against our sin at great cost to Himself. God's glory is declared most eloquently in the good news, the gospel message, that according to 1 Timothy, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. 1 John 4, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the wrath-absorbing sacrifice for our sins. Have you experienced His salvation? If you have, your heart will overflow with joy in the Lord for your salvation, and you will want to tell of His salvation from day to day. We gather to sing of our salvation and praise His glorious name because our hearts need to sing. We need to tell. It's an overflow. I can't bottle it up. I can't contain it. It needs to get out. When we see God for who He is, when we experience the salvation that He has graciously, freely extended to a sinner like me, we have experienced God and His salvation, and so we sing. You see, worship fuels missions. The telling, the singing, the declaring, it must flow out of an experience of God as God. God as a rescuer, my redeemer. We sing because we know Him. We sing because we know Him. We tell of His salvation because salvation belongs to the Lord. It is His unique and exclusive domain. Oh God, awaken our dead hearts to rejoice in Your salvation. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Sing to Yahweh. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Verses 4 and 5 answer the why of missions, both positively and negatively. Why do we go to declare God and His glory among the nations? Because Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. We declare His glory because He is worth praising. He is praiseworthy. He deserves it. So many salespeople promise the moon from a product that is average at best. We praise God because God's very being elicits praise. To be exposed to the living God is to fall on our face in awe and wonder. He is more terrible. He is more awesome. He is more to be feared than any other superhero, any supernatural being, good or evil. This is negative. The negative. We declare His glory because the things the nations worship as gods, they're worthless nothings. They're empty. They're vain. Powerless compared to the living God who spoke the universe into existence. This may sound offensive, especially if you're someone who worships one of these worthless gods. But look at it this way. This is constructively offensive. You're being a fool. Stop being a fool. There's a better way. I love you. Don't be a fool. Don't be deceived. This is constructively offensive. Stop worshiping worthless things. Worship the living God. This is what Paul and Barnabas told the idolaters at Lystra in Acts chapter 14. We bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. See, you have these small, these regional, petty, worthless, powerless gods. Turn to the one who created all things. This may sound offensive, but isn't it infinitely more offensive to the Creator of all things to exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever? Amen. Are we worried about offending people more than we're worried about offending the one true God? The good news demands not only embracing the one true God as your greatest treasure, it also requires turning away from every worthless thing that once held your affections. Every idol you once served, and we don't have in America golden statues up on hillsides, but we carry around our idols in so many other ways. What this looks like is selling all that you have out of joy so that you can buy the field that contains the greatest treasure. This is giving up all of your accumulated nothings to gain everything. Because Psalm 96 verse 6, splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Pursue splendor. Pursue majesty. Pursue strength. Pursue beauty. All of it is found in Him. Psalm 16:11 tells us, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." We declare His glory among the nations to expose the counterfeit and call people to embrace the authentic. We declare His glory among all peoples because He alone is truly glorious. Only in Him will my soul be satisfied. So, because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, out of the overflow of our experience with God in our salvation, we sing and then we say. We delight and then we declare His glory. And then we invite, we call people in Psalm 96 verse 7, ascribe to Yahweh, O families of the peoples, ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. We sing, 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 so that the nations will see it and ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. So they will see God for who He truly is and give Him the glory that belongs to Him. You see, missions flows out of our worship. Missions results in worship. The worship of the nations. The motive of mission is worship because I have experienced the salvation of the Lord. And it results in worship, the nations worshiping the one true God. The motive of missions is worship. The goal of missions is worship. Mission pursues the vision we see in Revelation 7 that one day a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with loud voices, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's the pursuit of missions. The psalm ends with a celebration of God's justice and the joy of all creation at the coming of Yahweh. Say among the nations, verse 10, Yahweh reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. God's just and certain rule is a contrast to the instability, the injustice of the nations. God's good rule is something to say yes to. Let the nations be glad. Let all the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before Yahweh, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. The climax, the crescendo of missions goes beyond nations, beyond peoples, to all creation. Heaven, earth, sea, field, trees, all declaring His glory at the long anticipated coming of their King. Brothers and sisters, do you believe it? He's coming. Our King Jesus, He's coming back. And that's what it's going to look like. At His first coming, Jesus said to the skeptical Pharisees seeking to squelch His worship as the people are crying out, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Maybe this is what Romans 8 is talking about. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That, brothers, that's you, that's me, that's us, the sons of God. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. That's what's coming, because our King is coming. So, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. Let's pray. Father, thank You. You are worth singing about. You are worthy of our praise. Lord, help us to get a glimpse today of who You are, Your glory, Your essence, Your nature, Your character. A God who is one God, existing eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equally deserving of our affection, of our worship. And Jesus, God the Son, You came down. Because we are rebels and deserve hell, You came down and took hell on the cross for us. You experienced the wrath of Your Father against my sin, because that's what I deserve. And You propitiated, You took that wrath into Yourself, and You paid the price in full. So that I could be completely forgiven, absolved of all guilt, of all shame. You took it. So that I could enjoy Your presence today. Sweet communion, fellowship with the God who spoke the universe into existence by the word of his power. Lord, we pray for the nations. We here at the end of the earth are recipients of the declaration, the proclamation of your truth, your gospel, good news. Help it not to end with us. Help us to be passionate about proclaiming your truth here to our families, our neighbor, our coworker, people we run into at the store. Give us such an overflow of joy in our salvation that we must tell of it from day to day. And when we become numb to the glories of who you are, Lord, help us to look back to the glory that you've revealed in your word and in the gospel. And renew our sense of wonder and worship at who you are. And may it overflow to our community, to our state, to our country, to the world. Lord, thank you for those who have gone out from us to the ends of the earth to proclaim your glory. We pray that you would make their time, their service to you, bear much fruit, as you promised you would do. Lord, may we bear much fruit, fruit that would remain. Be at work in us and through us for your glory. We ask it in the mighty, magnificent, matchless name, Jesus. Amen. I invite some of the men to come. We're going to celebrate communion. Remember what Jesus did for us. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you've thrown yourself on his mercy alone, I have no hope outside of Jesus. What I deserve is hell. That's what I've earned. That's my wages for how I've lived, for the choices I've made. And I can't make up for that by some kind of good works that cover over. No, I'm guilty before a holy and righteous and just God who hates sin. And so my only hope is that someone took the punishment for my sin in my place and clothed me in his perfect righteousness. That's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. That's why he came. That's why he left his father's side to become human, so that as a human, he could lay down his life in my place, in your place. If you've thrown yourself on the mercy of God today, you're welcome to remember with us Jesus, his broken body, his shed blood on the cross that washes us clean, that makes us new inside, that changes our heart, that changes our desires, so that we no longer want those things that we once desired, so that our affections slowly over time shift from the things of this world to the things that are of true and infinite worth and value, that we begin to treasure what is truly valuable, God himself. So I invite you, as you serve, to reflect on the price that was paid for you. Jesus' body broken, his blood poured out. Once we've all been served, we'll give thanks and receive that as a body of believers together. As we take communion together this morning, I want you to be aware that there are brothers and sisters around the globe in different time zones speaking different languages this Lord's Day, taking bread and juice and remembering Christ Jesus paid for them, declaring his glory among the nations. Jesus, thank you for coming to die for the likes of us so that we could enjoy your presence now and forever.
thank you for what you did, for what it cost. It's unthinkable what you went through out of love for the likes of me. All we can say is thank you, and we gladly receive a good gift from your hand. Thank you, Jesus. His body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out for you to wash us clean, to make us new.